This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You have found the Shanny Pants Show.
People ask all the questions that box you in. To classify your life with the stroke of a pen. Take those old rules, crumple them, and throw them out. We're burning that box right now.
Hello, Shanny here. Although I am most often recognized for my ridiculously comedic fashion and makeup tutorials on my social medias, I also have a deeper side. I have been learning, growing, and recovering so much in the last couple years, and I'm thrilled to bring you along on my journey as I continue to break the mold that I've been living in for far too long. I am so fortunate to have the privilege of interviewing some movers and shakers who are encouraging my healing process through sharing their own stories. I'm honored to bring these stories to you all and hope that you too can learn, grow, and heal, and also to remind us all that we are not alone. Welcome to the Shanny Pants Show.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to have you on the Shanny Pants Show. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for the audience?
And I am so excited to be here, Shanny. What a treat. My name is Jarette, and I am a survivor of an 18-year cultic group that I call an everyday cult, which is also the title of my memoir. And I call it an everyday cult because I was involved in it. Not because I was involved in it for 18 years, but because it was kind of a under the radar type group. Mm. I was a teacher for 20 years before I got involved in the group. I was actually a teacher while I got involved. And a couple of my colleagues were doing this really cool work, you know, that was helping them. They were working the dream, and I could see that they were like whispering and connecting with each other in a way, and I could see them kind of light up, and that made me really intrigued, and I knew that they were working with dreams. But I was pregnant with my first child, and I had this idea that I didn't want to start anything new until after my child was born. Mm-hmm. So I waited, and I now recognize that that kind of delayed gratification built some of that momentum, you know, like I kept seeing them for the next 6 or 8 months.
Like the anticipation.
The anticipation, FOMO, you know, all of it. So I knew I was missing out, but I also felt good about waiting. So I had pretty high expectations when I started, because I really respected these, you know, really truly beloved colleagues. I was working at a Waldorf school at the time. The other thing I didn't know about that is that although the Waldorf school that I worked at was not cultic, what I now recognize is that the underpinnings of Waldorf education and this, you know, intense spiritual philosophy, and there's a lot of kind of mystical stuff, manipulation, and this kind of unconscious vibe that I think really prepared me for my deeper dive into this group that was around the dream work. We called it The Work. The name that I give it in my memoir is CTL, the Center for Transformational Learning. And, you know, it started out really innocently enough, learning about through my dreams. And I got to connect with my colleagues around it, and some of it was just so, so wonderful. And there are aspects of it today that are still an integral part of who I am. But there was definitely a long, slow erosion of my autonomy and my capacity to think for myself. I grew incredibly, absolutely dependent on the leader to make any decisions. And I would default to him even before my husband, and much less before myself, because I had been learning that I could not trust myself, that I had unconscious aspects of my being that were not trustworthy. So,
wow. And how, when you started going, how old was your child that you had? Did you start right afterwards?
Yeah, 6 months.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And my husband started like 2 weeks before me.
Oh, really?
So we started at the same time.
Okay. Okay. So this was like a journey together for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. That's a big part of my story, Shani.
Yes.
Obviously his story is his.
Right.
And his story is my kid. So, you know, my daughter was 18 when I got out, and it was quite something. I actually met her on her cross-country bike trip, the last few days of her cross-country bike trip, to tell her that I had gotten out. And spend 4 days with her biking. That was quite something.
Wow.
Because she also had her own experiences within the work, as we called it. And she was glad that I got out. My son was 5 years old. My son was born 5 years later.
Okay.
Actually 4 years later. They're 4.5 years apart.
Okay. So while you were in the group, he was born. Yeah. Wow. Wow. And how was that? Like, were there lots of kids in this group?
No, there were just a handful.
Okay. Okay.
And a handful of, the kids were not officially a part of it, but
okay,
we had our own little subculture that took place, because the group centered around, our individual work with Doug, the leader, but also countless classes, and the big deal were retreats. So we had to attend multiple retreats a year. So what do you do with your kids when you're off at a retreat? Well, you connect with the other people who have kids. And so we would, you know, collectively get a babysitter, hire different people. So the kids would come together and kind of have their own experience.
Okay.
And so that was, and there was also kind of the connection with the parents who had kids. So that also created, you know, more of a tight-knit community. But we all lived in different places.
Okay.
Anywhere from half an hour to hours away.
Wow.
But there was a nucleus of people.
And how large was this group?
Not very large, Shani.
Okay.
That's the reason I use the term everyday cult.
Yeah.
Okay. So there were, you know, I mean, the core group at the end, when we had this like more organized program, there was a core group of about 20, it varied between 20 and maybe 25, 28 people in what we call the executive committee.
Okay.
And that was supposed to be the decision-making body of the organization. What was not known to me at the time was that, or what was not visible to me, is that there were four tiers above of real decision makers above the executive committee. So even though the executive committee was that 20 to 30 were the core group, I'd say.
Okay.
And we thought that we had the special power to organize and drive the organization. But then there were maybe 60 to 80 people.
Okay.
In a larger organization.
Okay.
And then there were maybe another 100 or 200 people that would come in for a retreat or two and then disappear.
Okay.
You know, reappear every so often. So
okay.
It was very, very small.
So do you feel, because it was so small, like, do you feel like that made it easier for your lives to be like super connected because you just personally know everyone in the group?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely knew everyone in the group. And we believed that we were in this great experiment together and that we were doing cutting edge work on the emotional, spiritual level. And that this is work that was going to really take off in the wider world. One day there was someone in the group that was an author who got interviewed on the Oprah show. That was a really big deal. So we thought the floodgates were going to open. And when the floodgates didn't open, for my husband, that started to create a crack for him.
Yeah.
But my loyalty was already so stitched in to the group. I just, I'm an extremely loyal person just by my nature. Mm-hmm. And he is a more skeptical person by nature. So that kind of helped him in many ways to not be as deeply involved as I was.
Mm.
So he got out 2 years before I did.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. So how was that with you still in and him out? I mean, that's got to be a little bit of good times for the marriage.
Well, that was really interesting, Shani, because on one level, it was very mixed.
Okay.
Because to preface that, the answer to that question, I have to say that in those 16 years, we did is it okay to swear on this pod?
Yes, it is.
We did a shitload of couples counseling.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like the one-on-one work, but that couples work was really a big deal. So we had like a monthly session with, you know, the head leader, and there were ways that our marriage and what I now see as our love for each other was really wielded against us. And our dreams were manipulated in a way to make it appear that there was more division than there actually was. But there was a lot of tension in our marriage. And there was also a lot of love. And we had these two gorgeous children. And I was growing more and more deeply, deeply committed to the work. But I was also, as you well know, becoming more and more indoctrinated. So I couldn't see that I was really dependent on Doug, the leader, for making, as I said earlier, making all my decisions. There was also great financial stress because we were both in the work. So we had our couples work. We had to do two of us for retreats. We had our one-on-one work. We had to pay for all of our classes together. We spent, you know, well over $20,000, you know, annually for this commitment. And So when my husband decided that he was done, or that he wanted to take a break, is how we presented it, there actually was a sense of relief because we experienced financial relief. There was also, in a way, the commitment, the time commitment was huge. So it relieved my guilt that my kids would be with, you know, my husband, their dad, instead of with a babysitter. And it actually allowed me to go even more deeply.
Wow.
That's when I joined the executive committee, was after he left.
Wow. So then you were just getting deeper and deeper.
Yeah. And when I got it, when I, you know, for me, I call it it was a very sudden waking up.
Mm.
And when that happened, it was, when I first went to him, he said, you know, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for this. And he knew, Shani, that if he pushed me, that I would choose the group over him.
Yeah. Wow.
And I know without a shadow of a doubt that that's true.
Yeah, that you would have. Oh.
And then we wouldn't, you know, like right. When I finally got out, we would have already been separated. It would have been a marriage. And
right.
So his patience is what has, you know, really given me, it's really what has given us our life together today.
That's awesome.
It was pretty
high. Well, and that's a long time, two more years of, and I'm sure probably, or I would think once he's out of it, he's probably seeing a lot more of what he didn't see when he was in it. And realizing that you're still there and you're getting deeper and deeper. So I'm sure that was hard for him to be that patient.
Yeah. And yet, he was also at that time involved in, and part of what helped him to get out was that he was doing his training to become a therapist.
Oh, wow.
So he's a crisis clinician and has a therapy practice today.
Wow.
And he engaged in his training, really at first wanting, you know, the work, the transformation learning and how the training that we've involved bring that work into the world. He wanted to merge work as a licensed clinician.
Wow.
In that work.
Oh my gosh.
And so he brought it in, like his first couple years, he was working part time on his degree.
Okay.
His master's, because he was working full time, you know, paying.
Yes.
Paying for me and my addiction.
Oh, like.
Yeah. I know. It's so cringy.
Yeah.
Looking back at it.
Yes. It is so weird. Oh, my God. It is just so crazy once you're out. When you look back and you think, how did I think that was okay? I mean, it is. I think it is, for me, it's valuable to still have that perspective, because I know for me, people that I know that are still in the group that I came from, you have that compassion for them and the understanding of, wow, not too long ago, I was thinking the same thing, you know, I was, so you can have that level of understanding. We're not, you know, people that don't have that experience are just like, you're crazy. Why would you do that? Oh my gosh, that's so weird. So it's neat. Well, it's neat that he can use that too in his work now. Oh, both of you. But you know, absolutely. You use your experience, turn it around, and make some good out of it. Wow. Yeah,
indeed.
And so, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that whole question of like, how did I let it get that bad? How could I have done that to myself and family? You know, all of those kind of questions. Are now actually the foundation of one of the things I really love to talk about, which is indoctrination and that process of how our natural instincts, like what it is that makes us human,
right.
The way our mind works, how we process information, how we naturally strive for meaning and understanding, and like that, like those things that make us human are actually what are used and twisted and hijacked in a controlling group or religion to garner loyalty to something other than our own autonomy and capacity, or really putting ourselves and our family in the center of our lives.
Well, it always, you know, for those that join and aren't born into a group, it, like you were saying, it starts out innocent enough, and it's, or a good thing even, you know, it can start out as such a good thing, and then kind of it can flip or turn. And so, yeah, it's not like you just are like, oh, yeah, this seems super weird, I would like to be involved with this. It seems like it's not going to be great for my life, so I'm going to do this. It's just not how it happens. I did what so as far as you saying, there's a lot of like dream work. So the leader, Doug, would he translate dreams and then like let you know what path to go, that type of thing? And then also, did what were you said, you know, you more and more of a time commitment, were there meetings, classes? You mentioned the retreats were really important. How often, like in your normal daily life, are you involved or with this group? Or were you?
Yeah. Well, to answer the second question first, and hopefully I won't forget the first one, but I will. One of the objectives in the group was, and one of the assignments was, that we would actually take the dreams that Doug interpreted for us, really. And that was, so this actually does answer the first question first. Maybe I'll go to that.
Okay,
first.
Yeah.
How he worked with the dreams is that they were interpreted. There was a whole narrative that was a bit radical. You know, he combined working actually with astrology. So you had your whole birth chart as a template for who you were. And supposedly on the birth chart, you could actually read your what we called our pathological tendencies. So the aspects of ourselves that would separate us from the divine. Our goal was to connect more and more deeply with our divine selves, and allow the animus and the anima, so that in that way it's kind of classic Jungian psychology. We would want the guidance of the animus and the anima to really flood into and fill and inspire our day-to-day lives. And the way that we did that was by taking Doug's interpretation of our dream and an assignment that he would give us from every single session. And we would do our homework. Our homework was something that came out of that dream session. Most of the times it was connected to a dream itself, but not always. And that kind of came less and less. The deeper and deeper you got in, the dreams were sometimes part of the homework and oftentimes not. So it could be just.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's whatever Doug wanted to, you know, tell you to work on. But that homework was something that we were required to do all day long. So we had to conjure up feeling state of that moment of the dream and that connection of Doug's divine insight coming into the dream moment, it would elicit this very strong emotional response.
Yeah.
And so then you had to conjure that emotional state throughout your day. And Shani, I literally set alarms for myself. You know, sometimes it's every hour, but when things got, were getting more, like if I was on the verge of breaking through, you know, from my dark side to open up into something really new and exciting, I literally would put those alarms on every 5-10 minutes.
Oh,
talk about crazy making.
Yeah.
Yep. Talk about disassociation.
Uh-huh.
Talk about, like, you know, not being able to be present. I remember vividly one time driving with my daughter in the car, and I had my little alarm going every, you know, 10 minutes or whatever it was. And she knew what it was. But here, you know how when you have a teenage child, driving time is sometimes like...
The only time.
The only time to connect.
Yep, yep.
And what was I doing? But having this, oh, yes, I'm going to go back to this moment in my dream where I get to feel this. That's going to help me to be more open to, you know, my daughter who's sitting over there. Like, I had this whole narrative, but
wow.
What really took place was a disconnect.
Yeah. And you missed an opportunity with her.
I missed opportunity. Exactly.
Wow. So the homework was constant then. That's always on your mind.
Yeah.
Wow. So even when you weren't there, and that's how he kept that control over, you know, you not being there all the time. That's wow.
Well, in addition to the homework, there was another way that control was kept.
Okay.
And that was through an email process where everyone who was part of, you know, this center would have to write their essentially like confessional type emails where they would out their pathology, which was you had to describe what you did in that particular week that was sabotaging the center, sabotaging the work, sabotaging your relationship with Doug, the leader, or sabotaging your personal homework. And then you had to say what your homework was, what your dreams were, and how that was supporting you to get, you know, back in alignment. So you had to write those emails. We also had to read all those emails.
Like from everyone in the group?
From everyone in the group.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it was intense. There was so much.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then you're just... You know, I'm sure like absorbing all of the other information from everyone else and drama. I just can't. Oh, it's like I can't handle that many thoughts in my head at one time.
Well, isn't that also part of what indoctrination is?
Yeah.
It's, you know, a bombardment of not only lots of thoughts, but thoughts that are specifically schooled for and fit into a narrative that is actually has its ultimate goal of, divinely inspired reality that is actually just harnessing people to stay more and more closely, you know, hooked in.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm more committed to spending hard-earned money on retreats and classes.
Do you feel like that was the end goal? Was it just money and try, or do you feel like he really, really thought he was doing, you know, maybe probably a little bit of both, I'm sure, but.
You know, part of me really loves this question because it's such an unequivocal, I don't know.
Right.
I do believe that he believed that he was doing good work. I also have heard since I got out that he had a coach or mentor. And so since then, since learning that and also learning about the dynamics that, you know, that cult leaders use, there's a cult leader's playbook.
Okay.
These are known moves.
Mm.
And they're closely aligned with sale.
Mm.
You know, they're closely aligned with how, you know, we are as human beings today manipulated all the time to buy a computer we don't need.
Right.
You know, whatever. So there's, and that's again, using our, you know, kind of human vulnerabilities to take, like, it's one thing to buy a computer you don't need when you have, you know, enough money to pay for it.
Right.
It's a whole nother thing to buy a computer you don't need because you feel divinely inspired to buy it because it's going to be the ticket for you to finally open up to the divine, because you'll be able to be a receptacle for this inner wisdom and, you know,
right,
some whatever kind of narrative.
Yeah.
That's when it's seriously problematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, happened. It's, you just get drained of all your money. So were you still working at the school during this whole time, or did you quit working?
Yeah, I was. That's a really interesting part of my story, is that I worked at the school for, another chunk of years, 6, 7, 8, something like that. You know, 18 years is old.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I started a cleaning company, house cleaning. And that was something that was, you know, a way that I was like trying to do something that I could actually create more money, more income for our family, and also do something that was physical and good, and I knew I was good at it. But pretty quickly, Doug was super supportive of me, not only starting this, because, you know, he believed that God's love flowed through entrepreneurs, because that would be more money for him.
Yeah.
But I also got to the point that I purchased, through Doug's coaching, and this was a couple of years later. I had the company for a few years, and then I purchased the 20-year-old company, cleaning company, signed a contract for $100,000, suddenly had 20 employees. I did not have a clue. Yes, I was managing a small business on my own. We were actually making good money. But then this bigger thing became a whole nother ball of wax, because I had hired someone else who was part of the group. And Doug was very supportive of that. And there was this moment, you know, where we had a session with the woman I had hired to be my office manager. And we were like out in the gazebo by Doug's house having this session. And, you know, it was like God's love came flowing in, because when I mentioned that I had met somebody who owned this, a cleaning company, who wanted to sell it, right after this employee had said she didn't think she could work anymore because her back hurt. So that's where this idea of her becoming a full-time office manager, that she could stay, you know, was just this layer upon layer.
Felt like all the pieces were just falling into together so wonderfully.
So perfect.
Wow.
And ultimately that led to, you know, my husband and I filing bankruptcy. Doug, the leader, actually encouraged quite a few people to file bankruptcy. Yeah.
What was the purpose for that?
Well, the whole idea was, you know, kind of crazy wisdom. You spend what you need, you get what you need, and God will provide. You know, you got to stay in the flow. Don't be skimpy. And then, okay, so you get some... You get a bunch of debt and new slate.
Wow. Wow. What a neat concept. Oh my gosh.
It was pretty awful.
That is terrible. Terrible.
I mean, unethical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. so sad. And I'm sure did that to so many people.
Yes.
Or anyone in the group. Yes. And so when you talk about the sessions, was that just basically like a therapy type session where he's dissecting your dream? Is that kind of what you mean by session with him personally?
Yeah, like a one-on-one. First it was 1 hour, and then they became half-hour sessions.
Okay.
Like it became kind of a status signal to be able to handle a half-hour session.
Sure.
yeah. So you could just go straight to the heart of the matter.
Freeze him up some more time, you know? You could fit more clients in that way.
Exactly. And more money. And he was, at that point, we were paying $120 for a half hour session.
Oh, gosh.
And originally when we started, it was like maybe $50 for an hour or something.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, yeah. he brought in some good bucks.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So besides your sessions were just set whenever you felt like it type thing, and then you had your retreats. Was there any like weekly meetings that you had as a group? Like, how did you kind of form that group or the relationships there?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of an interesting thing because there were many different stages. Mm. So there were phases where we had like weekly meetings, or we had to team up with somebody. When you became a member of the, the Center for Transformational Learning is what I call it. When you became a member, you were assigned an uplink. Mm. So that was someone who, worked closer to Doug,
right,
and would help you to identify when you were screwing up and, support you to make sure that you communicate everything to Doug. So there was a lot of spying on, kind of in the clinic, a lot of cattiness, which we, of course, it didn't feel like cattiness because it felt like, if I was sharing something that I learned about another person through one of these kind of uplink, downlink type sessions, if I were communicating it to Doug, it felt like I was communicating really important stuff.
Right.
And yet, what now I look at it and say, oh, that was just so, what a betrayal. So, and also catty, so unrelational. It was an awful part of the work. But then the classes, so there were classes that took place regularly.
Okay.
So the classes kind of became this meeting spot, as well as when I became a member of executive committee, that was a weekly meeting. So that was kind of the big, glue.
Okay.
At the end.
Okay. And then the retreats? Yeah. The retreats, were those like weekend long retreats? Would you guys go somewhere like how you would picture like a retreat? Or was it like just an extra meeting or something?
While I was with the group, we actually, the leaders, built a retreat center.
Oh.
On some land that, he owned. And so that was very exciting. So, up on the, I call it the farm, halfway up a mountain, very remote, gorgeous land. So we also got to feel connected to, creating this amazing space. So there were lots of retreats there. But then, the top leaders also traveled.
Mm-hmm.
So Doug and his little entourage of, top leaders would go to other places like Esalen and Kripalu and, did retreats in Europe.
Wow.
Maybe there may have only been one in Europe, which was a very big deal for me because I did go to that.
Oh, wow.
And that was after filing bankruptcy.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe it?
Clean slate. There you go.
Exactly. I thought I was going to be the one that was going to finally, I would finally break through. Just awful.
So terrible. And when you joined, it was in the United States, right?
Yes.
You're here. Okay. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now, before we kind of move on to what you're doing now, because it's so exciting, is there anything else like about the whole experience that you would like to share with us? We kind of covered it.
Yeah, I guess the one thing I want to share is I had a real soft spot in my heart for those of us who go through these kinds of experiences with a partner, you know, with a husband or a wife or a, you know, committed partner. And having gone through the experience of witnessing, you know, my husband in so many ways be denigrated and my own personal experience of, you know, myself being obliterated, you know, through this work, to have been able to come through it. And, you know, and my husband's patience being a really key part that we talked about earlier, you know, that I feel extremely, you know, indebted to him, really, you know, in a certain way, you know, for my autonomy today. And it's like we have an amazing marriage today.
It's great.
You know, I got out 9.5 years ago, and he got out, you know, 11.5 years ago. And so we do have a whole life, like, you know, bankruptcy is officially behind us. Like there is something, you know, I have a lot of respect for people who know that they need to separate.
Yeah, right.
Many, many really good reasons to end marriages. I'm not saying this is not a moralistic thing at all, just to be clear, but just that if where there is the love and where there is a spark, you know, like a container and a capacity afterwards to grow, it has just been one of the most, you know, fulfilling aspects of my life today.
That's so exciting. That is really great. That is so great. I love hearing that. That's really cool. And what about your kids? Are they doing well?
My kids are doing great.
Good, good.
So, you know, I just feel so fortunate, so blessed, really. I know that's kind of the produce on this podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe it's okay. I'm not sure.
No, it's fine.
Just really, really fortunate.
That's awesome.
You know, they both live nearby at this point, so I'm savoring that because
funnies.
And I also have a grandbaby.
Oh!
2.5-year-old, which is so fun.
That is awesome. Oh, that is very exciting. Oh, and grandbaby is close by too, then?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. That's fun. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's so, and you get to enjoy grandbaby with all the freedom that you have now.
Absolutely.
A little different than how you had to raise your children.
Exactly.
Thank you all for joining me for another episode of the Shanny Pants Show. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with me every week. You can find all of my links to all my social medias, anything your heart desires, at shannypantsshow.com. You can even find my amazing merch is back up and running there. And you can email me from there, all the things. Also, you always ask, how can you help me out with this whole podcast situation? You can subscribe to my podcast. You can leave reviews. You can share it with friends. I appreciate it all. So I am super excited to bring you guys the rest of the season. It's going to be amazing. And I'll see you next week. Don't ever silence your voice.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.